We're back. It's so good to be back with you. Week two on our Advent with Joseph, the guy not often chosen for an Advent, but chosen by God to be like Jesus's stepdad. My name is Mike Hins. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at LifeGate. I am joined by the ever-famous Tim Hall, who is, man, making a killing in men's ministry this year. Like, love this guy. So good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
I'm actually, like, so excited for this week's lesson because our verse you're going to notice is out of Hebrews. And you're like, wait, is this a Christmas story? And it is. I want you to know that. And the verse is really interesting. It's, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us. But one who was tested in every way. I'm slaughtering this verse because I'm quoting it from memory. But yeah, we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, but he did not sin. I look at that passage and I think, okay, this is the kind of Jesus that we have, one who was just like us.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one because you're like, was it really like... is that really in the story? And so there's some things in the Christmas story that you pointed out. And I'll kind of let you take us in this because you're right. You started off saying, man, when we think of Christmas, we first go to Mary.
Mary and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Joseph.
Yeah. And we're like, this guy, the overlooked guy. He's like Gen X. Did anything happen in that generation? So we've got this Jesus and Joseph combination. Last week we talked about, you know, how he related to Mary. Mm-hmm. And this week we want to talk about how he relates to Jesus.
Yeah, that's so good. Often when I think of Jesus, I just think that he just knew it all already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the Son of God. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't need to know anything. He doesn't know tutelage needs to happen.
Yeah. So like being the stepdad of Jesus would have been like easy because you're like, I got the best kid in the world. He doesn't do anything wrong ever. He knows how to do everything.
All hands off. Just heal me when I'm sick. But that wouldn't have been the case.
No. Because we really understand, even our passage says, we don't have somebody who's unable to sympathize or empathize with our weaknesses, but one who is like us and was tempted in every way that we were.
Right.
And so I think it's really interesting because we have this understanding of Jesus that he just kind of walked around and it was almost like the Matrix.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, I need this. And God was like, son, step right, step left.
Just plug me in.
Yeah. But that's Jesus didn't have God goggles on that told him, here's how to do it. He wasn't super powered. I think we talked about it before the recording or off the mic. And it wasn't like he had the cheat code to the planet Earth thing. It was like he was just like us in every way, yet he didn't sin.
Yeah, and we see this impact of Joseph in Jesus's life, even from the beginning, 8 days old, he takes him. He's obedient to what the law requires of a father to do, take him and be circumcised.
Yeah.
So you see early on, Joseph already doing what a Jewish father would have done for their son.
Exactly.
He gets the responsibility of naming him. And so this is not something that Joseph was hands off with.
No.
It was something that he was hands-on with. And you think of the life of Jesus, there would have been no other man who would have been as influential.
No. Like, we know how much fathers influence their sons.
Yes.
And so one of the areas that, like, you think about is we're always like, oh, Jesus, that's Joseph's son, the carpenter's son. And we, like, that's how he's referred to. And we're almost like, we don't know much more about Joseph until we did this study.
Right.
Then he must have been a carpenter. And so we did some digging here.
We did.
And like, we just want to warn you right now, we might frustrate you. We might ruin some of the old traditions that you had. And we care a little bit, but not a lot. Because when I was taking Greek for the first time, we looked at the term of what Joseph did, which we interpret as carpenter. And it's the word tekton. And my Greek professor was like, I'm going to have to break some bad news to you. Joseph wasn't necessarily a carpenter. In fact, one of the assignments he gave us is he goes, look throughout the Gospels and look at how much Jesus talks about woodworking and look at how much he talks about stoneworking.
Yes.
And here's the bad news. Jesus, not bad. It's good news. It's just a little bit different. Like, I'm going to disrupt. Like, it's really nice to think a carpenter son died on a cross, and the whole wood theme is really good there. And he was on a boat, and he touched wood, and he thought, ah, I could have turned this tree into it, and yet it became a cross. We love that as evangelicals. More than likely, in this area of Jerusalem, which was up north, if you go to historians, and they have unearthed cities around this time, the only wood in a house was the door. And the only wood that was massively used for other things was to build boats. And he would have been called a shipwright, which is a totally different term in Greek. And so we have a problem in that, can the word tecton mean woodworker? And the answer is yes. But it usually meant you lived in a place where wood was the main product that they built things. And that the answer was, is that what Galilee was like? And the truth was, it was no. Like, if you watch, you know, historians walk through this area, you'll see, man, everything, even seats that, like the Moses seat in the synagogue was a stone seat. And you're like, oh man, almost everything was made of stone. So there's more evidence, especially when you couple it with what Jesus talks about throughout his time on earth and with the disciples. You know, there's a time where the disciples are walking with him in Jerusalem, and they're like, hey, Jesus, look at these stones. Like, and he's talking about the design work and how big they are. And you're like, he thinks about the building side of it differently than he would have, like, this rabbi who grew up in a palace and had everything easy and had the best tutors and didn't, you know, had, like, soft hands that, you know, have never seen a hard day's work. He had, like, this understanding. And then you, like, think how he said things like, I'm the stone that the builders rejected. Yes. Like, he knew what that meant intrinsically, because he's like, yeah, I've been building things. And I'm like, that one won't work. And they throw it out. And he was saying about himself, most people will look at me and go, he's not the Messiah. He doesn't add up to what we think the Messiah needs to be. And there's no way God would build his kingdom upon that. Or even when he said, you know, I will build my kingdom on you, Peter, the rock. But probably the biggest one is when he talks about building a house. And he says, nobody sits down and plans on building a house and they don't consider the cost. Like, if I'm thinking about Jesus, the, like, never a callus on his fingers kind of rabbi, like, that's one conversation. But if I think I'm sitting across the table, my papers are spread all over the place, and I'm with a home builder, and he looks across the table at me and elbows on the paper and says, you know what, Mike, you're doing the right work, because nobody builds a house without first doing all this work to figure out how much it's going to cost. And you're like, that's the kind of Jesus we had, who knew how to figure out how to build things and thought about things in that way. So if you begin to look at how often he talks about stone, you go, okay, he might have been a builder in that way. But the thing that's so cool about this, and this is what I love about the lesson that you wrote, is this is the influence of Jesus's dad, Joseph, in his life. How amazing is that?
Right, just to assume that responsibility, mm-hmm. and just to know that, okay, God chose me.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, just the awesomeness of that. And for me, just the fear that would have been associated with it. But Joseph just seems to do the right thing each and every time. We saw it with Mary. Now we see it with Jesus, how he is just doing the right thing, following the heart of God, what he's doing. And we see it with, you know, the training as a builder.
Mm-hmm.
But we also see it, I think, in just some of the other teachings
mm-hmm.
That we read in the Gospels. I think of, we touched base on this last week, but with John 8 and the mercy that Jesus had mm-hmm. on the woman caught in adultery,
mm-hmm.
had he experienced or known about the situation with Joseph and Mary and was told or saw the mercy that Joseph had on Mary.
Such a good, I mean, so many things converge at that point. Dad's right. story with mom. Now he's with someone in mom's position. Right. They're about to pick up stones. Like, yeah. Like the convergence of all the things.
Yeah. And what about just the value of children?
Yeah.
You know, again, Joseph could have walked away.
Yeah.
But he said yes.
Yeah.
And was willing to place value in this.
Yeah.
And just some of these other teachings that he has as well. The prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
You see these examples of mercy and compassion that Jesus teaches about over and over again. Servant, mm-hmm. being a servant. How often would he have seen these examples in his father Joseph?
Yeah, that's such good input. So here's the thing that we considered. Such a great question. There had to be a time, and he probably did it really quick because he's God, where he sat down and he did what we do. Like, I don't know if you've ever filled out a will,
right. But
I have. And you have that really sobering moment where you go, and I know, my kids were 6, 5, 4, and 2. And Shar and I were sitting down and we were trying to pick who would raise our kids if we died. And honestly, that's kind of what God did. Mm-hmm. He was like, who do I want to have influence of a primary nature in my son's life? And he picked Joseph. And now we get to see all the influences, like how he looks at a father and how he looks at stonework and how he looks at all these different things. And we can see kind of the echo of his dad in his life. And we're like, that's a powerful thing. I love that.
Yeah, the value of people.
Yeah. And so I think what you said, like even how you chose the title for this is Joseph, a man of substance and character, or of character of substance. I forget how you...
Substance of character.
There you go. Of substance of character. And I think that's what God saw in him.
Yeah.
This is the transferable character I want imprinted onto my son's life. And so really, this really tees up some questions. You have two good questions.
One is... who has influenced your life?
Yeah.
And looking back, who has...
like the character of your life.
Character of your life, yes.
Yes. Like,
who has... not we could focus good or bad, but who has taught you about character? Who has taught you about value? Who has left the positive imprint in your life that you see yourself carrying out, that other people are the beneficiary of?
Mm-hmm. And honestly, that you can't ask that question without asking the part B to that question. Mm-hmm. This is how I get a third question in for free. Who are you doing that with?
Yes.
Like, who are you imparting character in? I think it's like, who gave it to you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you passing it on to?
Absolutely. It's not an option.
No. You're just going to do it.
Right.
Which really brings us to kind of that third, like, reflective look at it. And there's this quote that has been... just hammering on me in the last couple of years, which is, not all of my potential is good potential. I don't like that quote because it makes me realize I have potential to do great things and I have potential to do great harm.
Right.
And I want to do great things, but I want to ignore the fact that I can actually do great harm. And so sometimes the character that we're influencing in other people isn't good character. And that might be a harder question, but where are the things that you're not like necessarily proud of that you can see reflected in your children? You can see them reflected in the people that work with you. You can see them reflected in the people that you lead in different capacities. If you guys are daring, man, that's where I would go. I was like, let's do the good and the bad.
Right. I think that's good.
So that's it. That's a wrap for tonight. We hope you guys have a great discussion. We did. So we are assuming that you will as well. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks, guys.